NPR.
You're tuned to Mission Driven, Volunteer Powered, WMNF Tampa, where music, news, and culture collide.
Join me late Sunday, early Monday for Body Rock with Mike B on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. The heavy metal disco train leaves the station at midnight for a three-hour dark journey into the sonic underworld of alternative music. Body Rock with Mike B. Sunday, midnight, WMNF 88.5.
Forum each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. The Fourth Estate and I do research and have intelligent conversation with each and every one of you. And we love it. We love bringing you the best in radio programming here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete.
On purpose, you're tuned to Mission Driven. Listener supported, WMNF Tampa.
Today is Giving Tuesday.
All right. Yeah. Well. I ain't Dennis Edwards, but boy, good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Sunday Forum right here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. This is your host, Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, along with the members of the Fourth Estate crew. And our brother, Zambia, from Zambia, right here.
Woo! Yeah. Alan Malinga, what's going on, man?
I'm good, man. You know, hanging in there.
All right.
Pushing.
All right. All right. But Billy, what's up, man?
Not too much. Just hanging on in there.
Okay. All right. Keep on hanging on in there, brother. Keep on hanging in there. Miss Eddie's not with us this morning. She's maxing out, man. She got to max out. She's doing a lot of moving around, interviewing, and stuff like that. She's getting information out there for us, man. We really appreciate the work that she's doing out there. And so shout out to Miss Annie. Shout out also to our collaborators, the people who have been very, very supportive of us. Sister Erica Hall over across the water over here in St. Pete, along with my man Ken. Ken, what's up, baby? Listen, they're from New York. They're here in St. Pete. They've been working for years here on the environmental justice front, helping us to do co-ops and things like that to help build up our community to do for self. So shout out to Sister Erica Hall and my man Ken. Zinzele, who's been on our show, Erica Hardison, who's been on our show talking about the co-ops over there in the co-op that's over there in St. Petersburg. Please go and check them out. We're going to talk about that for a little bit today. Hey, man, this is the weekend of Thanksgiving. I guess the weekend of Thanksgiving. This we say that
yeah,
now.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanksgiving weekend. Right. Thanksgiving weekend, man. One of the things that upset me this weekend, of course, is the fact that, fam, you lost. I'm not very happy about that. You know.
That, I know.
I'm not happy about that at all. You
know. It'll be all right. As always, next year.
Well, Billy, you're going to have to play something to make me happy.
Uh-oh.
Man, you got to find something, man. We're going to find something to make me happy at this point. I'm not happy about that. I don't think any Rattlers happy about it. But keep your head up, Rattlers. Keep your head up. We're going to be all right. You know. Well, one thing about it, you know, and it stands. This right here stands. I will always say this. We are the reigning HBCU when it comes down to football, considering the fact that we're the only ones to have won a national championship in football. NCAA 2A football. Okay? The only ones. First ones and only ones. Okay? That stands. No one else, no other HBCU has done what we've done. Right? And we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again now. We are going to do it again. So, hey, that's where we are on that, man. You know? Hey. And we're also the only ones to beat University of Miami. A 1A school. We're the only ones to beat a 1A school in football. So, hey, come on.
That's good. Hurricanes.
Man. Listen, I'm reaching right now, man. I'm very upset. You can tell I'm very upset about this thing.
You gotta find something.
I gotta find something, man. I gotta find a win somewhere, bro. I cannot let this weekend pass without getting a win. Carolyn Collins, if you're listening, please call in and help me. Somebody call in and help me. Lord, this is really something. It is 14 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. this beautiful Sunday morning. And we are so glad to be with you here on the Sunday Four. We're having fun this morning. We got a lot of really, really serious issues to discuss this morning. And what we're going to do is what we typically do is look at things from the, have intelligent conversation from the black perspective. And as always, we look at things not just domestically, but globally. Let me say it again. Not just domestically, but globally, we look at what our place is in the world, right? How we can do work together as members of the diaspora, of the African diaspora. That is very, very important. Given what we're dealing with right now in terms of this regime, this federal regime that just seems to be working against everything that we're doing, everything that we are, eliminate any possibility continuing to have a history,
yeah.
Even, right? I mean, so we look at what has happened recently, and it's been happening for some time. I mean, this entire time, you know, how do you eliminate erase and strike the history of the Buffalo Soldiers from the military record.
Yeah.
In the United States. How do you strike any record of black contributions, you know, military records of anybody, any black people in the United States military? You can't do that. But they've done it.
Yeah.
They're doing it. Right? And it's a part of the effort, it seems. Mabili actually did this research. He brought it up. Mabili, I mean, what is it that we're seeing? I mean, we are seeing some major problems with that. And it seems to me that we need to now more than ever step up our game in terms of black history. I never thought that we would have to actually have to say or verbalize this any more than we already have. That's been a major part of who we are as black Americans, because we have such a unique history in this country. Mabili?
Yeah, I mean, it does mean that we have to step up our game intellectually and historically. We've seen this. You need to remember the arguments against affirmative action in the 1970s. Anytime there's progress, white men think that that means that's a loss for them. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the Trump regime use that to great effect in garnering votes from them and accumulating power by using that grievance, that white grievance. Yeah. And we're going to continue to see that, because anytime there's progress, that seems to make it feel that there's a loss. That means that's a loss for them. And continuing to get people to react to this ignorance. And we're continuing to see that their knowledge, their international knowledge, is lacking, but they're embracing it. The loss of any kind of intelligent conversations on websites in terms of historical knowledge is being disappeared. You know, we're seeing that they want to embrace this grievance, and that means that any loss of knowledge, any gain of knowledge and any progress is going to be a setback for them. And they're continuing to politicize that. But hopefully that's on the wane right now. We're seeing that they've been trying to capture the minds of our children by using this ignorance, spreading this ignorance in schools. And but one of the things that I liked about going to visit my family back in Louisiana over the Thanksgiving holidays is that there's a pushback going on. You know, the young people in my family are now reading black AF history, you know, so that they can get some knowledge that's being lost in schools, that schools are scared to teach. They're learning it at home. In all of those banned books, people are embracing this history. They're embracing those books and they're embracing this history because they see the politicalization of this grievance, of this lack of knowledge that this country is trying to embrace. And hopefully there's a pushback that's going to continue. I see it happening in my family. I'm sure it's happening in households across this country.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, I grew up in a household where we didn't have no choice. Like, that's what we did. That's just what we do in the Smith house, right? Like, we black. My earliest memory, I'm gonna tell you, you know what my earliest memories are? This is the honest goodness truth. Mm-hmm. I remember I was born in 73, right? So my dad went to Africa in 1970, and he actually was the leader of the group that actually went to Nigeria to do the accreditation for the University of Lagos, right? Mm-hmm. And when he came back, I don't remember him coming back because I wasn't born, but I remember as a child, a little bit of thing, I remember this little boat that he had, mm-hmm. right? And there was a mask that we had. We still have it to this day. We have both those things to this day. Both of them are at the Dr. Walter Smith Library and Museum in storage right now. But literally, this little boat was a depiction of people in Senegal, right? And people in there's another one that he had where people are using the boat to move around, to get up and down, you know, various rivers and things like that. There are whole cultures of people like this, right? Where that's they basically don't even know land, really. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everything's by water. Mm. So anyway, I remember that, and I've seen it, and that's all I've seen. Right? It's like that's the first. My first memory is blackness. Is us.
Yeah.
Right? Africa. And so when we look at our history and what our children are exposed to, right? Yeah. That's very important.
That's very important.
That's extremely important. And Alan, we're going to talk some more about that because that is very critical now that we're seeing rollbacks and efforts is to shut down, for instance, the African American Museum in D.C.
Yeah.
Right? To strike any record of black history from the Smithsonian Institute, to strike military records of black contributions from the Department of now War, or Department of Defense, the Pentagon, things like that. And that's a slap in our face. You know, and I take a personal grievance against that because of my family's history in the military.
Yeah.
I have a brother who is a retired colonel from the Army and did many tours. I can't even tell you how many he's done. Done many tours in so-called defense of this country,
yeah,
and represented our interests, right?
Yeah.
And then to come back and do the programs that he did as a ROTC director at FAMU. He was the director of FAMU's ROTC for, I think, 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, and literally transformed how things were done.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who does, who's the leader of one of those, of the ROTC groups, always looks to transform how things are done to improve their ROTC training, because these are officers. These are people going through the officer candidate program through college. Right?
Yeah.
So when they leave, they are commissioned officers. You know, and then you have people who, like my uncle, who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, right? Who got shot, came back home, and then went back to Vietnam, was a prisoner of war, and also served in Korea.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, my dad, who served in Korea, my grandfather, who served overseas in Europe, during World War II. So we have a long history of this whole thing. But that's a slap in the face of families like mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how do you? And then you look at what we listen every day on my phone and my computer. I'm getting new stuff. With regard to black history,
mm-hmm.
right? Regard to our history,
yeah.
That comes across and says to me, this is some new information. New information, dang. There's always new studies. There's always new information. There's new scholarship. So they're trying to kill the scholarship, in effect. Kill the scholarship of our history. Kill who we are. Putting us effectively, putting us in a position of servitude, if you will, of being a slave to this new regime and the way that it wants to run this country and run us, rule over yeah. us.
Well, I think that, you know, the people always say when somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Yes.
You know, so when we see, like, for instance, I always go back to, hey, these immigrants are stealing the jobs for the blacks. Okay,
yeah,
so overwhelming majority, what jobs do the immigrants do? So that's on the farms, that's as domestic workers and things like that. So that's probably so if you take away all this funding that they can get an education, all these other opportunities that are there, you shut them down, you stop them from the young black kids from seeing blacks who have succeeded and are heroes in any way, shape or form, you take that away, or they can see themselves as, oh, we're going to go work on the farms, or I got to be a domestic worker, and so that we begin to see ourselves that the only thing that we're supposed to be doing is these, meaningless menial jobs. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And it's a calculated, slow brainwashing or conditioning of the mind.
Yes.
You know, now, if you look on the other side, you know, that's what they are doing. And when we come to talk about Africa, it's pretty much the same concept. If we can point all day long at what that guy's doing, but it gives us an opportunity to actually even think outside the box on what we've already been doing. If we have gained these strides, right? What can we do to get around this? It's just another obstacle in our long walk, our long march to freedom and recognition and acceptance as a full human being.
Right.
So it's just, what is the fight? We got to just bring the fight back to, you know, get back on the field and begin to fight for what we are supposed to be. So how do we get around this mountain? You know, and I like what you said in the families. That's the one last thing that nobody can take. Nobody can take away from what we're passing down to our children.
Absolutely.
That's wow, man.
Oh, Mr. Malema is going to be inspiring this morning.
Oh, man. Hey, why do you think I did this? Huh? Why do you think I do this type of thing, Mavili? You know, this is some really, really important stuff we're going to be talking about today. Yeah. And we got to make sure that people are awake. So wake up.
Yeah.
Up you wake, like Samuel Jackson said, and do the right thing. And we got to do, and it's true, we got to do the right thing. We got to do the right thing. And, going in and throwing the chair through the window of the restaurant ain't going to cut it.
No.
It ain't going to cut it. Riots ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
What's going to cut it is, you know, they say real gangsters move in silence, right?
Yeah.
We got to move like that. We have to do what we have to do to maintain who we are.
Yeah.
And to regain that semblance of blackness. You know what? There is a documentary, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. And there's research being done about it, right? And it talks about, I remember when we were growing up, we were talking about the handshake, the dap, the history of the dap, right? There's so much pride in something as simple as that, right?
The nod. Yeah.
The dap, all that, right? So Vietnam, they say the dap really, you know, comes from, you know, back in Vietnam, the brothers were trying to identify where they were from and stuff like that. And so they're like, what's up, blood? You know what I mean? That was something they used to say. You said, what's up, young blood? You know, that type of thing. You know what time period they come from, who they are. I say that, right? I mean, like, what's up, blood? What's up, little blood? Mm-hmm. What's up, little young man? You know what I mean? Yeah. Give me some skin. You know what I mean? That's my dad. My dad used to love that one. Give me some skin. You know? And it was a sense of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go to Africa, right?
Yeah.
Now go to Malawi. And what do I see the girls do? The girl or women. Yeah. Hey! Dab each other.
That's right. It's some of that you don't even have to have ever met the person. You know, it's like the nod, right? When you go into any place, walk into any place, you see another black person, they just give you the nod. And they walk on, it's like, I see you.
Yes.
Keep on fighting, keep on moving, you know.
Yes.
That it's really, those symbolisms are important.
It is.
And you see, we have to also not forget where we're coming from and why some of these things were done.
Right.
You know, it is something as simple as a nod would now give you the courage to, you know, stand up straight.
That's right.
Get your chest out and keep moving.
Yes.
So, because, like, I see you, I feel you, I know what you're going through, I've been there. We're kind of the same.
Absolutely.
And it helps people keep pushing. So when we look at what the people, our fathers, had to endure way worse than we are.
Oh, yeah.
So we should be in our strides, even fighting for these things. We should be doing even more. Even when you look at, like, okay, Black Wall Street. What is
this? Right.
Now, the question, especially as a preacher, I'm interested in, okay, so how did this come? You find that the church was at the heart of uplifting lives, mm-hmm. especially black lives. Mm-hmm. Even in business and entrepreneurship, in education, it was through the church.
Right.
You know, so now when the church gets decimated and we're more focused on what kind of shoes am I wearing, what car do I drive, I've got to have a ministry plane and all that kind of stuff, we diminish the honorable cause, the honorable position that the church held in society. You know,
that's right.
That's why you would send your kids, our parents would send your kids to church, because they know the preacher's going to give them teachings and knowledge that's going to help them not just to be a better person, to be focused on education, just how to dig ourselves out of this. That was like the source and beacon of hope.
Absolutely.
So when the church gets turned around to be the place where that spreads pain as opposed to hope,
right?
Those are the little things that we need to fix. Not so much focused on, we know, acknowledge what's happening out there, mm-hmm. but we also look inside and say, guys, we could do better. We're better than this.
Right.
We've seen this thing's been done before.
Absolutely.
We have the blueprint.
Absolutely. There you go. There you go. We have the blueprint.
Yeah.
We've always had the blueprint.
We've always had the blueprint.
Right? And so I keep going back. You cannot talk about this without saying anything about Africa.
No.
Listen, man, I just remember it so well, my first time there, seeing the way that people interacted. It was like, they do the same thing with
you. Yeah.
Like, what's up?
You know, that's right. What's up, man? Exactly.
Hey, what's up? And but what got me was the women.
Yeah.
The way the women interact was what got me, man, the doubt. The women would give them doubt, and they were like, hey,
oh, yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, they dabbing up my mama. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, we in church, and we're like, hey, we're in Soweto.
Yeah.
And my mom was going to church, right? Because my mom used to, you know, we're AME, right?
Yeah.
African Methodist Episcopalian. So, our family has a long history in the AME church from its inception, right?
Mm.
And then, so we go to Soweto, right? And we attend Reverend Lodi. He's gone now. He was a bishop over that way. He was a pastor over that way as well in Soweto, in Johannesburg, mm-hmm. South Africa. And Reverend and Mrs. Lodi, they're gone now. But mom used to bring the food, like the breakfast samosas and things like that from the corner store,
mm-hmm.
Which they were freshly made.
Yeah.
Fresh made. And she'd bring all this stuff for the kids and for everybody, really, but especially for the children to eat.
Yeah.
You know, fresh food, because they wouldn't have a chance to eat, you know, this food before, you know, before getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go there and they'd be like, hey, you know, dapping my mom's up. And I'm like, what is going on? What's happening? You know,
it's crazy. Last couple of months ago, I was in Zambia with a group of guys, and then there was Dr. Precious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she should have been here with us today, but because she's black, we're getting the community, and then they gave her one of those wrappers that the women wear to wrap around her.
Yes.
So everybody just thought she's from Zambia. So they would go up to her, try to dap her, try to do some of those symbolic things, and she'd be like, Pastor, what are they doing? They think you're one of them. Like, you're one of them. Like, I know, I feel like, but I don't know how to do all these marriages. I'm like, don't worry. It's just, you know, so like you're saying, so you recognize that, hey, you're one of us. I'm like, you know, I'm just like you. So,
And the differences, you know, we find the differences, we see the differences, but it's the attitude that you have. Just be.
Yeah,
don't
just
go
be.
There. Don't go. Just like with any neighborhood or community you're in, if you're not from that community, don't go in there trying to judge or pass judgment on what's going on. You don't even know what's going on.
Tell you one of the most, the greatest thing I heard in a long time, a guy say, he's a missionary over there in Zambia. So he, with a friend that I went with, so he was like, after we chatted, then he turned to him and he was like, listen, as you're here, I know what you're noticing, and from chatting, these guys are, you're not going to come in with the attitude of trying to fix everything.
Right.
To fix them.
Right.
He says, they are not broken.
Right.
They're different.
Right.
Not broken.
Right.
You know, your mindset is not their mindset. So, like, and I'll give an example. You come to the emergency room, the hospital. When you come, when you're out there in Florida, you go to the hospital. As soon as you get there, okay, Mr. Mlenga, what are you doing? Okay, what do you need? Da, da, da. It's a real quick fast up. But when you come to a hospital in Zambia, they're going to be like, oh, hi, how are you? How's everybody doing? How's the family doing?
Right.
Great. Okay, awesome. Everything great, good. Oh, that's so good. No, we're okay. You know, we're going to keep, you know, whatever it is, if it's a situation happening in the country, they talk about that first. Make sure that you as a person are good. Then we discuss your problem.
Right.
You go to the bank, you want to bank your money. First, we're going to talk to you and find out about you. Then we can talk about your money.
That's right.
Whereas
that's
here, right. It's all business first. And so that human connection, we're losing it more and more. And that's precious about countries like that. Yeah. And then when you talk about the, it's the same thing here. The more the African society tried to be like the West.
Right.
The more disintegrated the community becomes. I noticed this this last trip, that the breakdown is more. The more we try to be Western, the more it's breaking down. Because in the West, especially if you come from the cities in the West, because when you're in the city, everybody's running around paying their own bills, doing this, no time for that human connection. You're beginning to see more and more the same thing in the cities in Africa. Because now we're all creating these bills. Everything that you have here, they want to have there.
Right.
And to get that, it's like there's nothing enough. You buy this gadget, now you're going to work, you buy the next gadget, now you're going to build this house, now you're going to build that next house, now you're going to build that next house.
Right.
Whereas when you go into the rural setup, the value or how we value is in you, who you are as a human being, as a person.
Yeah.
To the point where even if I have 10 times more money than you, if something is going on, but because we value you, we're going to wait until you show up.
Right, right. We want to hear from you. Call in 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Now, let me tell you something. So I did my research to catch up. I call it catch up research for me.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so the music.
Yeah.
Right? The last time you came, you had to tell me.
Yeah.
Who to go look for? Now listen, now hey! I did my research. Now.
Yeah,
I've been catching up. Now there are some very clean cut similarities. You go to Netflix, right?
Yeah,
and you can watch. I forget what it is, but anyway, there are these shows that are coming out of South Africa. Movies.
A lot of coming out of South Africa. Yes,
coming out of Zambia.
Yeah,
coming out of Nigeria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In places like that, Senegal, places like that, right? And there are comedies, there are movies, there are a lot of gangster movies, action movies, really great stuff. Like Miss Sono.
Yeah.
Miss Sono was
really good. Oh, yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Was that great? I'm waiting for the. I don't even know why everybody taking so long for like season two to come out with that thing, man. That was awesome.
Yes.
So, you know, but that these things are great. They're great.
Yeah.
Because it shows how far the art forms have gotten. In those countries. Now, with music. You know, hey man, listen. Being worldwide in music was not an easy task because it was in Africa because it seemed that white people had to kind of boost you up in order for you to make it. And that's changed. That has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you have a young man named Elton Mulenga.
Yeah.
Now I had to ask, is this your cousin?
Maybe, but
claim him.
I don't know, but Mulenga is a common name.
He's from Kasama.
I'm from that part of the. Pretty much like the next town or the next city down. So, hey, it could be.
Just like in Tallahassee, you know, you go down, you go on Highway 27 in Tallahassee, going to Havana. All the black folks on Highway 26, those are my cousins. Those are my cousins.
Man, yeah.
The right side or left side? Which one you want to? That's the Harrisons, the Williams, all the Butlers, all those are my cousins.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mulenga.
But Mulenga is one of those really, really common names because of what the word means. Basically, Mulenga means creator.
Okay.
So Kulenga is to like to draw or to create.
Wow.
So that's the name Mulenga is basically refers to a creator because in our culture, you're named based on some of your talents and skills. It's kind of an identity.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So if you're creative, they'll say, Udani Mulenga, oh, that guy is a creative person.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if you're a blacksmith, they would say Kabanga Fiela. So Ifiela is metal and Kabanga is somebody who works with and creates makes things using metal.
Metal, right.
So that's what you'd be called. So it became like your last name. Mm. You know, so it was Alan Mulenga. Which one? Alan, which one? No, that guy Mulenga is a creative guy. You know.
Right.
So that's kind of like why the name is so popular.
Well, I'll tell you what, this guy's popular.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of great work mm-hmm. on the continent of Africa in the music world.
Yeah.
And in Zambia, South Africa, Nigeria, mm-hmm. Senegal. Yeah. He's been around.
He's been around, yeah.
And he has done a lot of great work there. And he's also done some things with some of the American stars as well. With Chris Brown, Omarion. Mm-hmm. He has a song out we're gonna play today, Superman with Omarion. But the one that we're gonna play first though is Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a song! Great song. Now Miss Annie's on the line. Miss Annie just contacted us. She is on the line. Let's get her on.
Okay.
We got it. Okay, Miss Annie.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hello, this ain't Miss Annie.
This ain't Miss Annie.
How you doing?
Yeah, well, this is Eduardo.
Hey, Eduardo, what's going on, man?
Thanksgiving. Yeah, well, my brother came in from Chicago, and he'll be here for a few months, so that's great.
Okay.
This Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. I'll be going to L.A., one of the L.A. stations I listen to. They're pretty cool. They're mostly non-political. They're going to be at a restaurant, and they're going to be doing a pasta-ton. So I wondered if you or your guest can talk about Giving Tuesday in Tampa or like internationally, you know, Tuesday's Giving Tuesday.
Okay, so Giving Tuesday. Now tell me, I don't know much about that. What is that? Tell me more about it.
Well, with this particular event, they're going to be doing charity for people who obviously are hungry.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're doing a marathon for that. All the people that broadcast from that talk on that station will be at a restaurant all day from morning to night.
And where is that? Is that here in Tampa?
No, that's going to be in Anaheim.
That's okay. Oh. So okay, I see.
Yeah, that's
I see.
Be in Anaheim, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. This Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, so you know your audience or anybody that knows anything about that, wherever you are, you know, Tuesday's Giving Tuesday. So it's just, you know, it's just something to think about.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. How do people participate in it?
Yeah.
How do people participate?
They can go to our website.
They can.
All right. WMNF always participates. It's usually the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
Miss Annie should be there now.
Miss Annie?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yo, what's up, son?
Yeah. I'm here. What's up?
Hey, nice.
Let me tell you something. I'm listening to the show, and Mr. Lima, when I say to you, you are on point, you are 100% on point, sir. We talk about that type of information every week on a Sunday form of everybody, especially us black people, those of minority and color, how important it is to have that legacy.
Yes.
How important it is that we inform this next generation and the generation that we're in now, the importance of having their own, the independence of it.
Yes.
You know, because if you look at the other cultures, they're creating that. They're still building on that. And I know because we've gone through so much, you know, and we're rightfully angry. Let's be clear for that. We're rightfully angry, but we now have to find another way to channel that anger. Don't destroy our own stuff. Don't destroy
our
properties in our neighborhoods. We build it up.
Mm-hmm.
We build it up by teaching each other the importance and the value of who we are, where we come from, and what we've created, how we've made this country great.
Yes.
Right.
And that is so forgotten. So everything that you said, I was back here like, yes. Answer the phone, let me in.
Yeah.
You know how to say, tag me in. I'm on board with that 100%.
Yeah.
And I do remember the head nod and all that stuff, Walter, just because in New York we always did that. What up?
Yeah. Right, man. I just remember that. So,
you know, one thing is which I always tell people, like, even I talk this to my kids all the time. Like me accepting and acknowledging who I am and affirming who I am doesn't mean that I've got to take away from other people. Right. Or if I want to say, like, for instance, I have a lot of white friends. I say family, like real family, like they are, where I've known them for years. That's 20 years I've been in America. We've been like, they are practically family. We spend every holiday together and everything. But a mistake would be for me, because I'm with them and I love them and I know they love me, they love my kids, to then begin to say that I should shy away and pretend that what's happening to black people is not happening to black people. To pretend that my challenges are not the challenges that I face. To pretend to have to be other than what I am.
Right.
The same way I want to I accept them as for who they are, we're able to accept each other and them accept me in who I am.
Right.
And
right.
who and my roots and acknowledge my roots. Right. You know, it's I think that's very, very important that for those of you who feel like these are all your friends that you've grown up with or whatever, so saying some of these things that are happening to black people, it's as if you are saying every one of them is like that. No, that's not true. That's what kills some of us. You know, you can still be who you are and love them as a person, but still acknowledge your roots. It's like, even if we're talking just among black people, like I'm a Zambian, I'm an African from Zambia. Right. So we could say just because I'm from this part of the country, I can't talk about what's on this side of the country because I now live in the other part of the country.
Right.
It's crazy. Our difference is what makes the human race beautiful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All our differences come to the table is what makes us so unique as a people.
Right.
You know, and so we have to get over. I think it's growing or maturing, even on their side. But I take it for myself that, look, I had one friend of mine, a pastor friend. I really love this man. Mm. But when the George Floyd stuff was going on, he began to say all this. So I talked to him. I said, listen, at the end of the day, I'm raising black kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so if I don't talk to them in this way, what ends up happening if they meet? It only takes one bad cop.
That's it.
By no means are we saying every single white cop is evil.
No.
It only takes one. So you got to be prepared for that one thing. We have car insurance. We're not getting into car wrecks every single day. But the one time that you do get in a car in a wreck, you had better have good insurance because it's going to be your health. It's going to be your ability to provide for your family and all this kind of stuff. So we have to acknowledge that we don't have to shrink in who we are as black people in order to fit into society. Mm. We take what's good there.
Did you look at
what's good about us.
Wait.
You know,
wait.
You are over here.
Wait.
That is so
wait.
Listen, you don't have to play yourself small.
No.
Did you hear? No. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. You just said something that was so profound. You don't have to shrink.
To fit into
society, into the world.
To the world. No.
Listen, man. Everybody does what they do.
Yeah.
The Japanese do what they do. Mm-hmm.
If you don't show up at your best, you are robbing the world of the talents and gifts that God gave you.
Yes, and that's a sin.
Yeah.
That is an absolute sin. And when I say a sin, I don't mean one that's necessarily on 10 commandments. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, that's sinful.
Yeah.
Because you now have done something with, you know, if you believe like we believe, right, it's like, you know, man, God put us here for a reason.
Yeah.
There's a particular role that we have to play, something that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a talent.
Yeah.
That everybody, so people tell me, I don't have no talent. No, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes,
you just haven't honed in on it. You've not unleashed it, unlocked it. I say unlocked and unleashed.
Yeah.
I look at it as it's a mind shift, and that's the thing that we have, as a people, we need to understand that we need to have a mind shift at this point, because As always on the show, we have been victimized, but we don't always have to play victim.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And everything you just say is 100% true. Like Maya Angelou said, you don't have to play small to make everybody else look big.
Yeah.
Right.
No. And you don't have to act like your intelligence or your skills and everything is something that you should be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, absolutely.
You want to build up who you are, what you are, and that's part of your legacy.
Yes.
So on the show, Ms. Amima, I always say Walter's our local historian. You know, and I'm like, I do the entrepreneurial component because that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I speak about entrepreneurship, that's legacy that you're leaving.
Yes.
And it's so profound that you said that this morning, because my daughter and I had that conversation over the, you know, holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mommy, I now understand. You spent 40 years building up 12 businesses and we never got it. But now I'm getting it. And I'm like, thank you, God, finally.
Okay. Yeah.
Because our children don't understand the struggle that we went through. And they don't understand the struggle our ancestors went through. Mm-hmm. So what we're going through now is not even comparison to what they went through, because they were beat, whipped, and killed. Yeah. You know, they didn't have the liberties of the freedom of speech that we have, you know, that's trying to be taken away from us now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? And here's the thing that, but I go back to what you said, though. And because I hope that everybody heard that. That is very profound. You don't have to shrink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have to. Listen, gosh, Marilyn McCool and
Billy Davis,
that's right. Was it, you don't, everybody is a star.
Yeah.
Everybody's a star, man. You know, so why do I have to let my star diminish?
Yeah.
For you to shine, do your thing.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out, man. Mm-hmm. You know?
But I'm
going to help you in our community. We've got to get out of this thing of thinking, you know, I got mine, you get yours, and just leave it like that. Yeah. That's a blocked way of thinking.
Yeah.
That's not African thought.
No, it's not. It's definitely not African.
We have to hold ourselves accountable into showing them why the stars shine so bright. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to go past the point of just telling them at this point. We have to actually show them.
Yeah.
You know, we have to show them. And that's why I'm reverting back to a conversation. When I explained to her why I was doing all the things I did throughout the years, you know, it was so that she can finally see now, because now she's in on it. You know, I said, and she said something. She said, Mommy, I'm going to jump out the boat.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump out the boat, and I'm just going to go ahead and dedicate myself to this, to having my own, so I'm no longer accountable to wake up for somebody else's 9-to-5 and keeping them rich, so I can make us rich. I said, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the mind shift shift right there.
Absolutely. I saw it even in my family. I saw it from our parents. You know, when you do well, we all... Everybody does well. So that the African mindset, or the mindset with which what I observed my parents going through is, there were people who my parents were taking care of, and we're not biologically related at all. And we grew up thinking, oh, that's an uncle, that's my cousin. And then later on, as you're older, you begin to realize that, wait a minute, there was no relationship but when they did well, when my parents did well, everybody else does well. There's that mindset that it just can't be just about me. I saw it even when my mom was a teacher. Kids would come and hang out at our house all the time. I thought, well, because my mother's their teacher, they love her. Some of them, it's because of me, we're playing together. But what I didn't realize years later, actually, when I moved to the States, one of the guys calls me and says, hey, how's your mom? I'm like, no, she passed on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Man, it's because of your mother that I got to school, that I'm even doing what I'm doing. Exactly. She used to buy me. She used to make sure that I ate before I went to school. She used to buy me school books, uniforms, and all this. But she never said a word to any of us. Whenever she just did it. That's just the way you did life. It's not anything that God gives you. It's not just for you alone. It's for all of us.
Right.
And if we can do that, we lift one another more. Even when it comes to disciplining you. If I'm on the streets acting like a fool, my neighbor, my mom's friend, anybody that's sitting on the street is like, yo, what you trying to do?
Right.
You know, and they straighten you out right there.
Yeah, that's right. So listen.
That's our way of thinking. That's our ancestral old school way of thinking, because that's how it was. We grew up in that era that the neighbor could discipline you to make sure you're not out there in the street acting up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now our children and our grandchildren, they don't have that luxury.
No.
We have to be careful, because our neighbors are the ones that's next door committing these crimes.
Yes.
And hurting our children. So, it goes back. Yes, teaching them our old ways, teaching them how we learned where legacy, morals, and respect come from. But also, now we have to do it at 2.0 level, because this is a whole different type of generation that's happening right now. It's a whole nother way of the way people are thinking. And because of that individual inside that White House right now, he has everyone thinking that has that negative mindset.
That we're wrong for doing it. That we're wrong.
Yeah.
Somehow we're wrong for this. Right?
No. Say what's on your mind. There's no longer any balance. There's no more any accountability.
We got to feel like we're wrong for doing it.
Yeah.
And we're not wrong for doing it. We're not wrong at all.
That type of BS. So we need to understand that what we're doing here on the Sunday Forum, what you're doing, Mr. Lima, talking about it and being examples of it, that's what we need to continue, and hopefully will spread to show people. I was coming from Orlando yesterday, Walter, and I'm not there, Ms. Lim, because my car is down. So I was inside of a lift, And as I'm in the lift, I'm talking to this gentleman, and we're having these conversations about, you know, what's going on, you know, around us in this environment. We're talking about the Sanders. We're talking about the nut in the White House and all that. And this is a white Caucasian man. And I told him at the end of the ride, I said, thank you, because we actually had a conversation. We had a conversation that we know we have two different point of views, but we were able to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Right now, we don't have that luxury. People, wives and husbands, households have broken up because of this individual in the White House. It's crazy how divided we have become.
Yeah.
If we don't take all of this negative division and hone it back in to let our people know, to let our children know, look,
we have to do for ourselves.
Focus on the goal, because our ancestors' goals were to say, yes, I rightfully do this. I'm going to take what's mine because it's owed to me, and then I'm going to share it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to share it to make sure my community grows, to make sure my tribe is successful. And that's the mindset we need to continue to push forward.
All right. So now listen, we got calls coming in. All right. So listen, call in, folks. 813-239-9663. Make sure you call in, folks. It's now 8:56. We're approaching time for NPR. But we have a call. Let's go to this call real quick, please. Caller? Caller? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What I want to do, I want to correct a quote that the, I didn't get his name, but the young man there said, Dr. Maya Angelou said, when a person show you who they are, believe them, not tell you, because people tell you the Donald Trump always talk about how great he is, but we see who he is.
Oh yeah,
so yeah. Well, I appreciate that correction, but he also literally tells you. With Trump, he actually literally tells you too.
He does both. Quiet point out loud. He says the.
But yeah, that's the quote I was looking for. Thank you.
Okay. Also, you were speaking of no matter where black folk are, Africa, America, whatever we. Need to have that connection. I might not be saying exactly like you said it, but there's a guy from Africa on the podcast, and he is so angry and upset at black people in America because he say we don't have any culture. And so I feel, why is he getting so upset about it? Well, help us have culture if he think that, which is not true.
Yeah,
but we kind of differ on little silly things instead of coming together.
But I'll tell you one thing, though, before you go. There's the thing is, when we are, it depends on where you get your information from. For example, when I was back in Africa, right? Apart from the African American pastors that came and visited my church in Zambia, or what we thought of black people is they are thugs and criminal, and you had better stay away from them. You could get shot, killed at any time, and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's what we saw in the movies and on TV. That's what we were shown. So if that's all the information that you get, it's easy then to look at the people based on that information they receive and just paint everybody that way.
Right.
But so it takes coming here to come and see. I bet. If he lives here, I don't know where he's living, but I think that guy should be living in Africa. Because if you live here, you'd be able to see that the people are cultured. They have, just because what your culture is slightly different from mine, doesn't mean you ain't got no culture.
Right.
And that's a two-way street, because that's another thing I've heard.
Yes.
Complaints in my own family over this weekend that the years of brainwashing when it comes to our knowledge of Africa has been complete. So that was a two-way street.
But you know what they'll find to be disappointing, right? If there's a picture that you could have here, like an African supposed to be, the culture supposed to be this. You go over to Africa, you find that it has evolved also so much that what we expected them to live like in 1930 is actually not what it is. Even basic things like the way we conducted marriage, in Africa, in Zambia, specific in Zambia, even 20 years ago, some of those things have withered away. We're not paying so much attention to.
Wow.
And if we had the time, I'd explain, because every stage was important and it had meaning and a reason why they do it. Quick example, they would do what we call matebeto. Matebeto is where your wife's family come and say, after you've been married for a while, maybe 5 years, there's a child, there's at least one child, and they see that you take good care of